The Horseman's Corner is an original production of Howard Hale Broadcasting, on the air since 1994 with over 7,000 episodes with people involved in the world of horses. Today, the program is hosted and produced by Nelsina Lehman and Brian Hale. Visit horsemanscorner.com for more, including longer interviews exclusive to the web, full archives, our own equine podcast search engine, made possible by Van Hargis Horsemanship. I'm Howard's son, Brian, and we welcome you to the Horseman's Corner. We'll be back with today's guest right after this.
I'd like to invite you to visit the website that we have for the Horseman. That's horsemanscorner.com. Good place to advertise, good place to go if you're looking for horse information. That's horsemanscorner.com.
Welcome back to segment 3 of the Horseman's Corner, and once again we have a special guest, Toby Took. Let's listen in.
Well, you're an ambassador to something that I think growing up I took for granted. And the reason I say that is because we lived it. You could go to town, walk down the street, see these people that you knew their names, you knew where they lived, you knew what they did. And it just didn't hit me until probably until I went to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, and I'm walking around this building and it dawns on me all of the livestock and all of the people that I recognize because of my grandparents and my parents and the bucking horses and all that, that entire world that seems to be in one small bubble. My grandparents were in Oklahoma City when Feek passed away, and I know that it was devastating for them, and just because it, not just because Feek was an icon, but because they had lost a friend. And yep. For you to carry this on, I can't tell you how proud I am of you, because I know that this is not for financial gain. This is a labor of love.
Well, and I go, you know, to the bar back home, going to the doghouse there, and people, I bet you're just raking in the money from this movie. I'm like, I haven't made a damn cent. And the money that we do make, anything we make off that movie, 10% goes back to the museum in Ekalaka. I'm like, I don't want it. I am putting back into home. You know,
oh,
and
good for you. Thank you. And that's wonderful.
And they're looking to expand. And, you know, there is a big exhibit in there of Took artifacts, pictures, coats, awards, saddles. Like you said, we're known for dinosaurs and bucking horses. And the cool part about it is, I mentioned Grandpa had saved the bones to Gray Wolf and General Custer. Nate Carroll had approached me, goes, well, with technology today and we can scan those bones. I said, well, we don't have them all. No, if we have someone, we can get the general size. And they want to do a full life-size scan of Gray Wolf and or General Custer and have it in the museum. So I thought that would be kind of cool to see the actual size of those horses, you know, 17 hands weighing a ton, bucking horse in there with all these dinosaurs.
Hey, if you got it, want it. That is beyond cool right there. That is wow. Yeah, I remember as a kid watching the horses buck, and then watch the NFR and go, well, that horse was Frontier Airlines, or that horse was this horse, or and have people go, they were proud of the lineage. They were, and I'm so glad somebody's documenting this.
Yeah, and it's fun to see, you know, well, and that was when we were DNAing and Custer, which is one of the greatest breeding stallions of all time. Harry Vold had him and then sold him to, Harry said his biggest regret was selling him to Ike Sankey. That horse has had more world champions come out of it than any other stud. And story goes, Harry, he was trading horses with Grandpa, and he said, hey, I'm going to bring up these 6 mares. I want you to breed them to General Custer. Grandpa said, okay. brought them up. Well, Custer ran three of them off. So Graham's like, well, heck, I'll put it on, I'll put them with Gray Wolf. Well, he ran one of them off. Well, that lone mare Grandpa put with Timberline. Well, they all got bred, loaded them up, and with the DNA, because they exhumed Custer. He was buried on the Sankey place, and they exhumed him, and they're like, this DNA of Custer does not go back to Tuke's General Custer. So I got a call from the BHBA real quick. Hey, what's going on with this? And Ernest had said, oh, yeah. That probably, because we've got Custer's bones and we've got Gray Wolf's bones. If he doesn't go back to either of them, you know, it's out of Timberline. So it's cool seeing that. And just, again, the BHBA is great for the sport and great for anybody that just loves bucking horses in the history. Because I've had people approach me. Hey, I've had a number of people. Hey, I've got a horse that goes back to Indian Sign. And I let them tell their story. And then I go, well, I hate to break it to you, but Indian Sign was a gelding, so I don't know who told you that, but you don't have an offspring of Indian Sign.
Well, that's kind of what went through my head, too. It's like, I thought he was a gelding.
Yep.
Whatever floats your boat.
So that's the beauty of I can't praise the BHBA enough with, you know, I preserve history, but they, I mean, again, science doesn't lie. And, you know, I can't tell you, if you're listening and you have a horse that's a little bronky or whatever and want to see, get a hold of them, pull some mane, put it in there, and they can go, oh, hey, this goes back to this horse, or this doesn't go back to anything in our database. But it's really cool to piece that puzzle together as to, you know, Bronx, because, and Dr. V had said that almost all bucking horses go back to six mares way back in like the 30s.
Really? I did not know that.
The mare side of it, everybody thinks it's the stud side, but from what Dr. V says, it's the mare side that, and I guess I think about it now, and Grandpa had talked about, we had a mare that Grandpa called Goldie, and Grandpa's like, we could put her with, you know, General Custer or Prince, horse bucked. We could put her with one of the horses Grandpa used to pull the hay wagon, the colt would buck. So I, after, you know, hearing that from Dr. V and talking to Grandpa and stuff, he said, that doesn't surprise me that there's, you know, those handful of mares that are kind of the foundation for everything. So.
Well, that's interesting. I know that, my grandpa always used to say that, different people would say, well, I don't want to ride a mare or whatever. And he is like, where do you think good horses come from?
Yep. Yeah. And, that was always what Mel told me, is when Rodeo Inc., most of the horses that they had or got from us, they were geldings or mares. And because I'd quizzed Mel, and I was like, well, did you ever, like, breed any? He's like, no, your grandpa just kept sending us truckloads of great horses, so we didn't breed anything. And Grandpa was telling me about the first time that Mel and Jack and John flew out to the ranch. And, of course, did you ever know Faye, Uncle Faye?
By reputation, we'll say. I heard great stories about him.
But Uncle Faye, he was there when the plane landed, and old Jack Brainerd rolled up and said, wish I would have brought a Bronx saddle. I would have topped one of these off. And Faye just said, if you could do that, we'll give you the whole ranch. So, and they saddled up to go ride out to look at all the horses with Zeke and Brainerd. Of course, Jack, he was like 5'2". He was just a little guy. And they didn't have enough saddles, so they had Jack in a Bronx saddle out there riding through. And they got back to the ranch. And here comes the horse with the Bronx saddle, and Jack was not on the horse. So he couldn't even ride the saddle horse, let alone top one off to take the two cranks. So I always thought that was a good story as to Jack, and I got to talk to him and ask him about it. I think Mel and your grandfather embellished that a little bit.
Certainly not. Oh, so do they have any prognosis for when the docuseries is going to be done, or the documentary for the Feek's Vision?
It is close. I got a rough cut of it. When was that? A week and a half ago? It was the first half of it, and well worth the wait, you know, seeing all the guys in there. Even we've got pickup men talking about trying to pick up the two courses. I mean, Gail Warner, who's a historian, it just is cool. And I had got some footage, old footage. Grandpa had a camera, you know, an old reel-to-reel camera. So I've got a bunch of these horses from back in the 50s and 60s in action. And I've got it put on DVD and digitized, and so we're going to be seeing some of that in there. And I laughed because Grandpa, he would ration them out to me like they were library books. He'd go, well, here's two. Okay. I'd get those done, and I'd come back. He goes, well, here's these two. I'm like, why the hell don't you just give them all to me at one time so I can get them all done? But then after he passed away and Grandma passed away, I found all of the cans, and I got them all done. And I watched, well, there was a lot of those where Ernest was eating the dirt quite a bit, so I'm sure that's why he didn't give me some of those cans. But yeah, we've got some cool artists working on it, some 3D artistry in there. It's well worth the wait, and I've always we started it before the pandemic, and this has all been donation based, so that means even more to me that everybody out there wants to see this and wants to hear this story. By donating money to this project, it means the world to me, because when they told me the price of this, my butt puckered a little bit, and I said, I don't know, where are we going to get all that money? And because there's a lot that goes into it, you know, the equipment, the time, the travel, the everything, the editing, you know, paying Max to do music. I reached out to have Sam Elliott do the narration, and that would have really set us back as far as money goes, but I would have loved to have had Sam's voice on there. We haven't given out the name of who we're having for the narrator, but it'll be pretty cool. And again, it is going to be a great top-notch production, because Ken did the special cowboy moments, the wild rides, and if you've ever seen those, you know the quality of his work. And I know, well, and Ken had a heart attack during the production too, so
I remember that.
Yep. So I mean, we've had a lot of obstacles thrown at us, and we're going to come out on top, and it's going to be shown everywhere. I know Oklahoma City wants to show it down there at the Hall of Fame. Colorado Springs wants to show it. I've already had like four or five places here in Billings want to show it. It just is very. It again, I can't thank everybody that's pre-ordered a copy or just wants to know Grandpa's story. It's something that I never would have thought, but when you think of it, boy quit in school, raised bucking horses, people told me can't overcome it. It's almost like a Disney movie, and then comes to it and he passes away at the pinnacle of, you know, he was 58 holding a trophy for a horse. It don't get much better.
Or worse, depending on your angle. But what a story. We'll continue on with segment 4 after this. You're listening to the Horseman's Corner.
I'd like to invite you to visit the website that we have for the Horseman. That's horsemanscorner.com. There's a lot of information there, some good horses for sale, some sales that are coming up, and some broadcasts and podcasts that you'll really enjoy and use as a learning tool, because it's a great source for the horseman. Good place to advertise, good place to go if you're looking for horse information. That's horsemanscorner.com.